So this week is Parshat Lech Lecha. Before we begin, I have to fulfill obligation to my publisher. And I did my new book, which just came out, has arrived. Actually, you make a bracha, you make a shachianu when you write a new book. Correct? Correct? I mean, I think it's more impressive than buying a new sweater. I don't know. That's just me. So it's called Explorations Expanded. It bears. In a certain sense, it grew out of my first book, which was called Explorations, which was 500 pages on all of Chumash. This is 350 pages just on Bereshit. And they only brought one copy and signed it. So I will sign it. I will sign it. B'li Neder. So let's begin. This week is Parshat Lech Lecha. Vayomer Hashem el Avram, Lech Lecha me'artzecha me'latetecha me'beit avicha. And there are those who are troubled by the sequence. God says to Avram, go, pick up and go, lech lecha, go for yourself, go for your benefit, go for your own good. Go from your land, your birthplace, and your father's home. And there are those who are troubled with the sequence that it should have said, leave your father's home, leave your birthplace, leave your land, and why would it be put in this particular order? I think there's a very simple answer to that, and I will delay gratification, and I will tell you that answer as we move on, but I think that the answer is so simple that, not that it's not a good question. I mean, sometimes when you realize the answer, you say, well, that wasn't a question. I mean, there is a question here, but the answer, I think, will be satisfactory. Then God says, I'm going to make you into a great nation, I'll bless you, I'm going to make you great, and you'll be a source of blessing. Now, what's interesting about this is with no background, we don't know anything about Avram. And essentially, we can look at this and say, Avram just won the lottery. God said, I chose you. I chose you, and you're going to go, and you're going to do all of these things. And that's one of the things that perhaps, you know, troubles us. Like, why exactly does God choose him? What did he do? So I think I touched upon this a little bit last week. I don't remember what I give too many classes. I don't remember necessarily what I said by each. One, Noach, because Noach, in his sense, is an inverse of Avraham. Right? Noach is called a tzaddik. Why does God choose him? Because it says he's a tzaddik. Even though he says he's a tzaddik, we've never seen anything which makes him a tzaddik. And for that matter, I have a serious question whether Noach being a tzaddik is actually in a tzaddik in the Baal Shem Tovian sense, meaning that it's something about his charisma, he's a righteous individual. Actually, in the new book that you bought, Stu, I have a footnote here claiming that the word tzaddik most likely does not mean righteous, but rather means innocent. And I think throughout the Chumash, the word tzaddik does not mean the word the way it's been taken later on in Jewish history, and rather it means that he was innocent in a generation where everybody else was guilty. Yes, that's page 59, footnote number one on the bottom. Okay, now you got your homework. But it's innocent. He was an innocent person, which means that Noach's greatness was not what he did, it's what he didn't do. He didn't do what everyone else did. Everyone else was doing horrific things. He didn't do that. And that itself goes back to the argument between Reish Lakish and between Rav Yochanan, whether you judge him objectively and saying, okay, how would he compare to other people? And Rav Yochanan said he would not have been all that impressive. And Reish Lakish says, what are you talking about? Reish Lakish says, you know, had he been another generation, he would have been that much better, because Reish Lakish, I mean, Rav Yochanan, who always grew up in the Beit Midrash and was always, we can call him a tzaddik in the later sense, while Reish Lakish was a Baal Tshuva. And Reish Lakish says, never underestimate what peer pressure can do and lead a person towards. And therefore, he's saying, if he would have been in a greater peer unit or greater peers, then he would have been a far greater individual. And as I said, I think that this is one of the times that you have machlok between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, and their relative backgrounds really does inform the opinions that they have in this particular case. But nonetheless, Noach, we're told why he's chosen, because he's innocent. We're not told why Avram's chosen. On the other hand, if I had to write about Avram, there's a great deal of things I can write which would then indicate his greatness, which his deeds, his actions, his righteousness, if you will. So God chose well by choosing Avraham. Not that we second guess, but you look at Avraham and you find really extraordinary behavior that he does. On the other hand, I don't know how many hands we're up to, but on the other hand, we're actually told God says why he chose Avraham. And that's in next week's parasha. Right before something which I think is quite significant, and that is right before God reveals to Avraham that he is about to destroy the city of stone. And I've said this many times, that I think that most people today, as great as we may imagine ourselves, if we were put in the same situation and God said, oh, those people that are bothering you, this enemy that you may have, I'm wiping them out, that we would say, okay, I could deal with that, go for it. We would take much more of a Noach approach. Oh, wiping everyone out, fine. And Avram gets up and argues to save the people who are really the antithesis of his behavior. Avram truly is a man of chesed, and they are truly people who are wicked in the eyes of God. So God says, I'm going to take away wickedness, and Avram should say, go for it. But Avram doesn't. Avram argues that even the wicked people, and again, just think about it for a second, Avraham's mission in this world to create and spread the name of God and create a world of kindness and decency and justice would have been easier had there been no stone. But he doesn't choose that. He says, no, God, there must be 50, and again, not righteous people, innocent people, right? There must be 50 innocent people over there, and at the end of the day, that's not the case. So what we really have, Noach never speaks. Throughout the whole narrative, Noach forgets to speak. The only time he speaks is when he gets abused, and when he gets abused, then he curses his son. And after he curses one son, or a grandson, as it may be, then he turns around and says some type of blessing to the others. But throughout the whole thing, he doesn't speak, which goes back to why God chose Avram. He says, I'm choosing you because you are going to inform and educate your children. Any time that you've ever done something which Jewish people have done for a very long time, anybody who's complaining about the tuition crisis, that I've spent so much money on Jewish education, I spent all this money, that is why God chose Avram. He chose Avram because he says, I know he's going to educate his children. And when you look at that by itself, okay, that's important. But when you look at that as a comparison to Noach, you realize with Noach, there is no dialogue with his children. There is no relationship over there. Noach's leadership is one which is a lacking leadership, while Avram's leadership is one which is proactive, going out and trying to go another direction. So even though I say right here, God, it looks like he just won the lottery, God said, I'm going to choose you, it'll take another parsha till parsha Vayera, till God will say, oh, this is why I chose you. Because of your ability to communicate and to communicate God's values and to teach them and to move them forward. It continues and it says, that those who bless you will be blessed, those who curse you will be cursed. And through you, all peoples of this land, of this world, will be blessed. Pasuk Dalet. Vayelech Avram kasher dibar elav Hashem. So I want to pause there for a second. And Avram went as God commanded him. So that actually sounds very good, and this fits into the Avraham that we know, and the Avraham that we know is somebody who obeys God. Not only does he obey God, he generally obeys God immediately. We have a number of times, Vayeshkem Avram Baboker, Avram gets up early in the morning and he goes and he does what he needs to do or what he's commanded to do. And as I said, that's on more than one occasion, although note that that's lacking over here. Now the truth is I shouldn't, you know, overly stress that, it's not fair, and maybe... As I said, maybe that's really unfair of me even to point that out, but the phrase Lech Lecha is used another time. God says to Avram Lech Lecha when he sends him off to the Akedah to offer his son, and there he says, Vayeshkem Avram Baboker, he gets up early in the morning to do it. Although maybe it's very different moving, right, than just going on a particular mission, but the Vayeshkem is in here, which leads us to a question, which maybe is an annoying question, and that annoying question is, so how long did it take Avraham to then act upon the word of God? And when I read this verse, when it says, Vayelech Avram kasher diber elav Hashem, he followed God's instruction, it's a positive sounding phrase, because it makes it sound like he did what God wanted him to do, and you should then turn to me and say, why are you giving Avraham a hard time? It says that he did what God told him to do, why are you questioning it? Well, that's what I do. I apologize. But it says that he did as God commanded him. But then we have three words which I think are quite problematic. And they say, Vayelech ito Lot. And Lot goes with him. And that leads me then to a question, which is also an annoying question. When God says to Avram, leave your father's house, who is included in the father's house? Is Lot included or is Lot not included? Which means, was he supposed to take Lot? Was he not supposed to take Lot? And before you give me too hard of a time with this, it didn't say that he took Lot. It says, Vayelech ito Lot. It says Lot went with him. So we can then imagine that Avram leaves as God. Now read those words again, because now I think they're a little more interesting. Vayelech Avram kasher dibar elav Hashem, Vayelech ito Lot. And Avram went as God commanded him, but Lot went with him. So I'm going to leave this as of right now with a big question mark. Is it that Avram did what God commanded, and that includes that Lot went with him? Or is it that Avram did as God commanded, but then Lot tagged along? Which means when Avram is supposed to separate from his father's house, what exactly does that mean? Who is he supposed to separate from? Is it supposed to be separate from his father, specifically from Terach, or is it father's household? Does this include Lot? Does it not include Lot? And therefore, Lot becomes our very big question mark. And then it says, "V'Avram ben chamesh shanim v'shivim shana b'tzeitom mecharan." And Avram was 75 years old when he left Haran, which then, of course, leads to another question, and this is also an annoying question. And if I would have started with this question, you would have given me this answer, and the only problem is that this answer may or may not answer the question, but let me tell you the question. How old was Avram when God spoke to him? So you would say, well, he was 75. It says he was 75 when he left Haran. But I didn't ask you when he left Haran. I asked you how old was he when God spoke to him. Which means we like to imagine that all of our great people were born great people. Question is, do they become great people or are they born great people? And is there any development within Avraham's life? Is there anything which ever changes, or is he always like this? Look, the biggest indication that there's a change is that God changes his name at some point. He's not born Avraham. Okay, right there. He's not born Avraham. He's born Avram. And he gets changed along the way. And the change in the name change indicates that there is some kind of a change as well. And there are at least change in the mission, at least. But to say that Avraham could have been spoken to by God and there is a process and it takes a little bit of time, actually what I'm guilty then of is that I've just turned Avraham into a human being, and I apologize for that, because I will readily admit that Avraham most likely is, I'll say it like this, then I don't have to catch it at all. I can just say clearly, if you look at the Rambam's writings in his halacha books, Avraham is the hero of the Mishneh Torah. As much as you would think maybe Moshe is, Avraham is. Avraham is the spiritual genius who finds God. And I'm not proving this point now, but I mean, the Rambam is a whole book of loving God. And who's the one who loves God? Ahava. And who's the one who loves God? It's Avraham is the one who loves God. He has a book in terms of Mada, finding truth, rejecting idolatry. Who's the one who finds truth? It's Avraham. Which means if you go through various writings of the Rambam, Avraham's the hero. Avram is the searcher who finds the right answer. He's the one who loves God with all of his heart, all of his soul. He's the one who's willing to sacrifice everything for his love and dedication to God. So I'll say it again. I'm pretty sure that I could, I mean, this would be either an article or a book, what I'm saying now. Anybody can steal it from me if they want. They can write it. But it's just very easy to prove that for the Rambam, Avram is the spiritual hero that we all try to get up to that kind of a level. And I don't want to take anything away from Avraham. See, there's this whole tension in Israel today with the rebirth of study of Tanakh. You know, traditionally, Jews didn't study Tanakh all that much. Traditionally, Gemara is far more important. There most likely is this Zionist enterprise whereby the Tanakh gets studied again. Ben-Gurion, who was not necessarily a believer at all, felt the study of Tanakh is very important. I recently had heard heard a radio interview with somebody who says, I'm an atheist, but I love studying Tanakh because this is the Jewish people's book. Which means it's interesting for someone to try to separate it from God, but nonetheless, he was very upset about anti-religious people who've thrown away Tanakh as well. He goes, no, this is our book. This is our people. This is our history. And his point was, who cares if it's man-made or not? This is who we are, and how dare we, you know, not learn this book? But certainly for those of us who do believe, and those of us who do have faith, and those of us who do believe that it's a book that is divine, it's very interesting that in many, many yeshivot, it's just not part of the curriculum even. So why? Because it's too Zionist. You can read this book and you can end up being a Zionist. So there is something which is dangerous about this book. So there's a whole argument that takes place today among the religious Zionist camp, and that's called Tanakh Begova Inayim. Should I study Tanakh whereby all of the characters are these spiritual giants that I can't even possibly understand? Or do I look at them begova einayim, basically eye to eye on eye level, which means do I look at them as regular human beings? So I want to resolve that right now. I think that you look at them as regular human beings, but I think that you need to do that with a great deal of apprehension. And let's be real about this. If I want to look Avram in the eye, I have to climb up on a ladder, right? But I can't, what I'm trying to say is I can look at him as a human being, but I have to do that with a great deal of apprehension. And so I'll say that I believe that there is such a thing as Tanakh Bagov Einayim, but only when I climb up on a ladder, then I can look at them. Which, and by the way, you have, look at the Ramban in this week's parasha. The Ramban says Avram, who is a righteous person, did something which was incorrect in terms of what he did with Sarah when he goes down to Egypt and he leaves her in a situation where she is very vulnerable. And he says, you know, Avram, this righteous man, the way that he treated Sarah, that tzadeket. But again, he couches it in those terms. Or when he talks about the Shimon and Levi going and wiping out the city of Shechem. And he says that, you know, it's an amazing thing that such righteous people could have done such a dastardly thing. But he calls them righteous people along the way, and then he has to figure out, so what went wrong over here? So it means is that, you know, we don't look at our biblical heroes as being just regular. It's Abe, you know. He's just, no. It's Avram Avinu, who may have been the greatest spiritual genius who ever lived, again, without teachers, without people inspiring him. He didn't go to yeshiva. But he comes to this unbelievable level. But nonetheless, he is a human being, and therefore there is a lot that we can learn. So now over here, we'll go back to Pasuk Dalet. Avram is 75 years old when he leaves. And I ask this annoying question, and how old was he when God first spoke? Was there a lag of time over here? So let's hold that for a second, because the problem actually is the next Pasuk. The problem is Pasuk Hei. Pasuk Hei says, V'yikach Avram et Sarai ishto, v'lo ben achiv, v'et kol rechusham esher rachashu, v'et nefesh esher asu b'charan, v'yitzu lechet artzer kanan, v'yavor artzer kanan. And there are too many words in that Pasuk. That's the first problem. There's too many words. And not only too many words, some of the words are repetitive. So we don't like too many words, and we don't like repetitive words, and therefore let's read it again carefully and slowly and try to understand what this is really telling us. V'yikach Avram et Sarai ishto. Avram takes with him Sarah, the Etlo ben Achiv, and he takes Lot. Hold it a second. What is this telling us? Okay, he took Sarah with him. We like that. He took Lot with him. We don't understand that. And on top of all that, didn't he already go in the previous Pasuk? The previous verse says, and Avram went as God told him, and Lot went with him. And now it says Avram took Sarah and took Lot, and all of the possessions, Korach, Husham, Asher, Rachashu, V'tanefesh, Asher, Subacharan, and either all the people he inspired, or all of his, or all the things that he owned, V'yitzu, and they went, L'lechet Arza Canaan, to go towards the land of Canaan, V'yavort Canaan, and they arrived in the land of Canaan. So how many times do you want to say that? I'm just saying is that there's too many words in this verse. And he should have said they went. And that needs to be understood. And then on top of all of this is a second problem. And, you know, I've told you this many times. This is the trick that rabbis use. We take one problem, and then we take a second problem, and then we use the second problem to solve the first problem. It's basically intellectual three-card Monty. And you know, nobody follows it along the way. Oh, there's a problem. Oh, that solved that problem. Everything done. Now we can go. So that's what I'm going to do. At least I warned you beforehand, and you just got to sort of follow it and see what happened over here. In Perek Yud Aleph, which was the end of last week's parsha, we, you know, so anybody who's got ADD didn't follow that far. They lost their concentration long before this. But towards the very end of last week's parsha, we're introduced to somebody named Terach. And Terach, we're told, has a very nice family. Among the family, he has a son named Avraham. Not only has a son named Avraham, Avraham is married to a woman named Sarai. In Pasuk Lamed, it says, "V'tihi Sarai akara." She was barren, ein lavlad, she had no children. V'yikach Terach et Avraham b'no, v'et Lot ben Haran ben b'no, v'et Sarai kalato. And Terach takes Avraham, his son, and Lot, his grandson, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, eshet Avraham b'no, and they leave from Ur Kasdim the Lechet Arkza Canaan, and they're on the way to the land of Canaan. And they get only to Haran, and they stop there. So now, when you keep that in mind, and you go to the verse that I read before, Avraham leaves, and he makes it all the way to Canaan. Who is it saying didn't make it? That's Terach. But that doesn't actually answer our question, because now, you notice we just now replaced one question with another question, which actually may be a far greater question. And that is, why in the world is Terach going to Haran? So most likely, Terach understood that there was great opportunity for idol salesmen in the land of Canaan, and therefore he wanted to open up a whole chain of stores where he can sell idols on, you know, up and down Route 60. He can put it in the gas stations. He can have various places, maybe on the beach. You always can use idols there as well. Maybe every mountain and every leafy tree and so on and so forth. He can open up his franchise and he can. And does that answer satisfy any one of you? So why is he going? What in the world is going on over here? Why is our favorite idol salesman or seller going to the land of Canaan. And on top of all that, why does he not make it to the land of Canaan? So this is a little disturbing, all of this. So let's take a look at the Ibn Ezra now, and you'll see the Ibn Ezra said exactly what I said, or unless you want to say the other way around, that I said exactly what he said. If I present it this way, by the way, it usually means that I thought of it before I looked, and then I said, okay, none of you guys trust me, and you only like if dead rabbi said something, so I'm not going to accommodate you completely on that, so I have to find someone else who said it. So if you look at source number 3, Ibn Ezra says, V'tam v'yitzu lechet arzah Kanan v'yavo arzah Kanan shelo asu maaseh terach. They didn't pull a terach. What's a maaseh terach? What's a terach behavior? Katuv l'mal, as it says before, sheyotzim kamovah dato lechet arzah Kanan, that he had an agenda to go to the land of Canaan. V'nei itakev ba'aretz, but he got stuck along the way v'shamet, and he died along the way. V'nei eli yatzu mi'charan, but these people went from Haran v'lo hitakvu b'makom l'rot tzonam kiminagam mishe yesh lo makneh. And they did not stall along the way. They didn't wait. They didn't find all kinds of reasons, like all these people who may have dreamed of making aliyah one day and said, I'm on the way to Israel. I'm going to Israel. Should I stop or should I keep on going? I'm on the way to Israel, but then along the way something happens and it doesn't really ever take place. But so the Ibn Ezra tells us that that's why there are so many words here to say that in contradistinction to his father, to Terach, who doesn't make it, Avram does end up making it. Which then we now have another problem. You notice how that's what I'm saying, it's 3-card Monte, because the problems just keep on switching back and forth now. But our problem now is still going to be Pasuk Dalet. Why Pasuk Dalet? Because there it said Avram already went. And Avram went, and who went with him? Lot went with him. So why does Lot go with him? So in source number 4, the Torah Moshe, this Torah Moshe is the Chatam Sofer, and he quotes his teacher, the Hafla. Anybody know what Hafla stands for? But this wonderful teacher of, the Chatam Sofer had two main teachers. One was of Natan Adler, and I say specifically Natan Adler. He spoke in Sfaradit in Frankfurt, which was not all that common. He actually had met various Sfaradim. He was convinced that the Sfaradim understood how to pronounce things better than Ashkenazim, and he took all kinds of mystical practices, the Arizal's practices, but he actually spoke in Sfaradit, and he had various other customs which were not common. That was the person who the Chatam Sofer considered to be his main teacher. But his other teacher is the Hafla. Hafla is Pinchas Halevi Horowitz. So that's what the various letters in the Hafla is over there. And he says, Hosafti al Devarei Eile Shekatav Mori, and I skipped what he said of just quoting his teacher, Mori Hafla Zatzal, Alot Shehalach im Avram Rak Lefi Shehaya Avram Ben 75 Shanim Ve'ein Lo Yoresh V'tzafa Al Yerusha Gdola V'zeu Asmichut V'yedichot Alot V'Avram Ben 75 Shana. So if you go back to that verse, it says that Avram went as God told him, Lot went with him, and Avram was 75 years old when he left. So he's saying, yeah, that explains why Lot followed him. Lot's saying, hold a second, Avram's got all this money, Avram's got all this thing, and he does not have a Yoresh. He doesn't have anybody who's going to inherit him. So let me stick with Avram, and that will be, I will therefore hit the, what would the word be? Win the lotto when Avram moves on, and that's why he follows him. Which essentially what he just now did is that he gave or ascribes very bad intentions to Lot in his following him. Incidentally, I do want to point out that Terach was still alive, and Terach was substantially older than Avram. It says that he was 70 years old when Israel. So if Avram's 75, so what's 75 plus 70? Exactly. So Terach is much, much older. So if you want to inherit somebody, maybe it would be smarter to stay with Terach and take care of the old man and then take everything from him. So I'm just pointing out that as much as you may like the explanation, although you can argue with me, okay, let's get an accountant and let's do an appraisal. Let's find out who's worth more money. Maybe Avram's worth more money than Terach, and therefore he says this is worth while going to him. But once you turn the whole thing into economic opportunity, so I'm just pointing out that this may not be, I don't know how to put this, as glut as he is saying it, or for some of you, as much of a slam dunk as he is saying it. So you can choose your metaphors, and let's continue. The Orach Chaim HaKadosh did not like anything that I said before about perhaps the hesitation and so on, and he says, no. It says Avram went. Achen, in source 5, second paragraph, Achen kavanat katuv hu lo diachi bato shel Avram, shelo nitakev, afilu sha achad. Elo b'gemar divrei Hashem, lech lecha techef ayelech Avram. He says, look, it's like one verse after the other almost, so Avram went right away, which is very nice, except for one thing. One, how do you know this? And two, it's a little bit more complicated. So let's start with the one for a moment. What he's doing is what I suggested before, even though I can have the exact opposite conclusion. If in other indications it says that Avram gets up and does it right away, that is the Midah of Avraham. And rather say, as I had said, that, oh, maybe Avram develops along the way. No. Avram, that's what Avram is. Avram is an early riser. God said it, he does it, and that's it. And that's the way the Orach Chaim wants to read it. And let's all admit, there's something very healthy about reading it that way. Therefore, Avram is put in as positive light as possible. My question was annoying, but what was my question based on? On the fact that it didn't say, Vayishkem Avram Baboker. Which means in the other cases, it says Avram got up early in the morning and did it. So over here, it doesn't say that. And that's actually why I think that there is perhaps a question. Let's pay attention to the Radak. In source number 6. Vayelech Avram, ubalo ad Haran, he got to Haran, viniach sham aviv, ubalo la'eretz Canaan. I'll explain in a moment, that's a fascinating reread of the entire episode. Because the earlier episode said that Terach left and he took Avram and he took Sarah and he took Lot and he took them to go to the land of Canaan, but they stopped along the way. And now it says, and Avram came with, right, Ubalo ad Haran, he came to Haran, v'niach sham, and then he left his father, which means it seems as if he's suggesting that the idea of going to the land of Israel, or Canaan at the time, was really, that's Avram's mission. And Terach, therefore, just now became part of Avram's mission, but can't go all the way and stops along the way, and Avram then continues on. In Pasuk Hey, he writes, one second, B'tzeto mi Haran, if and over here he admits that Avram may have paused along the way. And I want to note something. He's claiming that the instruction of God to go, Lech Lecha, was not given in Haran. He's claiming that Haran is a stop along the way. And just think about how different this is from the way the Orach Chaim said it. God said it, Avram gets up, and he goes immediately. Over here, no, God had said it at some point, and then this whole family starts their journey. They get to Haran, and Terach stops over there. And it says that Avram then stays and discusses and talks with him and so on. And it says some time takes place. And he says, not a lot of time, but some time takes place there. And then he continues along the way, and he's 75 when he leaves. But he is admitting what we had noticed, and it didn't say that he's 75 when God spoke, which means he sees some kind of time frame over here. And then it continues with Lot, that Lot ben Achiv, and he took Lot, ki ay nishma elav, because no, Lot would listen to him. And he left his grandfather and he went with Avram, which means actually for Lot, there is perhaps more of attention than we realize. And forget the money side of it. Lot, who is fatherless at this point, so what does he do? Does he go with his uncle or does he stay with his grandfather? So and also, let's admit another thing. We don't know how old he is at this point. We don't know if he really needs an adult to be looking after him. We don't know if this is a question of a lifestyle question, do I want to stay with Terach or do I want to go with Avraham? Or this is a more pragmatic, practical issue in terms of simply where he is going to live. Source number 7 is the Kli Yakar. The Kli Yakar says also, by the way, I just said so many things, so everybody I quote is going to say, oh, that's what I said before, but it's true. This is one of the things I said. It says, Umashenemar vayelech Avram kasher dibar elav Hashem vayelech ito Lot. When it said before that Avram obeyed what God said and Lot went with him, haynu Lot me'atzmo halach acharav. Lot went by himself. Avram didn't invite him. Aval Avram lo kirvo. Avram did not try to bring him close. Va'adaraba hirchiku. He's trying to send him away. Vayikach et Sarai. And then afterwards says he took Sarai and Lot. Davar acher terach haya mitkarev biyoter kurovav alkach. Alkein lakach tchilat Avram beno, v'achachach lakach et Lot ben beno, ki b'nei banim ki banim. V'achachach lakach kalato Sarai. Aval Avram lekach tchilat tzara ishtoki ishtoki gufo. He's trying to compare when it says that Terach took and who he took and why the sequence was the way it was and why Avram, the first person that he takes, is his wife because he feels closest to his wife. Chizkuni in source number 8. So those of you who don't know or don't remember, the Chizkuni is part of the school of Tosfot. Vayelech itolot. Lefi sheharan aviv mate be'or kazdim biglal Avram achiv. That why would he take with him Lot, or for that matter, why would Lot go with him, or why would Avram acquiesce? And we still don't know, is he commanded to take him or not commanded to take him? When it says, leave your father's house, does it include Lot or not include Lot? But he just now points something out, which is behind the scenes, and that's the Midrash that says that he died when he went into the furnace. And let me just pause there and consider that whole story for the moment. We're told in the Midrash, and the Midrash, as we've said many times, is a source in the text. The place is called Ur Kasdim, the fire or the furnace of Kasdim. And Avram leaves Ur Kasdim. The Midrash says that Terach had his store, and Avram, the iconoclast, breaks all of the idols. You realize, of course, that Avraham is foremost an iconoclast intellectually, and the Midrash then turns it into an iconoclast literally. Yes? The word iconoclast means somebody who breaks idols or breaks accepted things. So Avraham is this person who breaks the consensus, who believe in idolatry, and he believes in one God. What the Midrash did is that it turned his iconoclasm into a literal action where he breaks all of the idols. So, and incidentally, the Rambam takes that story as a true story, not by tradition, as something which historically took place. What happens is his father then hands him over to Nimrod, and the Midrash has a whole back and forth between the two, which is very important, but not for us today. You have it in the book. And you have a lot of homework to do now. And then Nimrod takes him and is about to throw him into the furnace. The Midrash then says that Haran is standing there and watching this. And he is the kind of person who hedges his bets. And he says, if Avraham comes out miraculously victorious, I'm going to side with Avraham. On the other hand, if Nimrod wins, I'm going to side with Nimrod. So you can call him then a weak character, an opportunist. You can call him a kind of person who is basically sitting on the fence and is not sure who he is or what he is or what he wants. And for that matter, he's terribly unimpressive to us, or at least he's unimpressive compared to Avram. Avram gets thrown in the furnace, comes out miraculously, so then he says, wow, I'm going to try this as well, goes in the furnace, and God does not do the miracle in order to save him. So now, what the Chizkuni just now said is that being that his father died, look at the way he said it, Lefisha Haran Aviv Meit Be'ur Kasdim Biglal. He died, why? Because of Avram. Biglal Avram Achiv. Therefore, Avraham decides to treat him as a surrogate son because he lost his father. Maybe Avraham has a little bit of guilt in that. Although I do want to point out, the verse that he's explaining right now is the verse that said that Lot follows him, but therefore Avraham may, let's just try to reconstruct that. Avraham may well have instruction from God not to take Lot with him, to leave his father's house. And Lot then tags along, but what can Avram do? I mean, it's Lot. What can he do? So therefore, he allows him to join. And by the way, then subsequently, by the next verse, okay, Avram takes Sarah and Lot as well, which means the impetus was Lot's, but then Avram acquiesces subsequently. That Lot ben Achiv, and now he points out something else that we may have lost track of. Acheha shel Sarah haya dichtiv et Lot ben Haran dichtiv beharan avi malka vafi yiska vaamru rabotenu yiska zu Sarah. So according to the Midrash, Yiska, the daughter of Haran, is actually Sarah. So Avram marries his niece. But if that's the case, then Sarah has a brother, and his name is Lot. And now you have another reason that Avram had no choice but taking him. He takes Sarah and he takes Lot. Why? Because Sarah gives him a look and points at her brother and said, you're taking him also. So essentially he doesn't have a choice. So that's a real interesting point. And I really hope that you liked the way that the Chizkuni now tied up the various pieces of information. But I told you that the Chizkuni is part of the Balei HaTosfot, And I want you now to look at the Dat Zakein of Balei HaTosfot in source number 10. V'Avram ben Chamesh Shanim v'Shivim Shana, he was 75 years old, v'Kasha. And he says, now this is difficult. Now, those of you who've been to my class for years, you know that I like what he's about to quote, and I've confused all of you over the years with this, but let's try this one more time. V'Kasha, this is difficult. Sh'arei b'Brit Bein HaBetarim hayala achri yitziyato mi'Charan. That the Brit Bein HaBetarim seems to have taken place after he leaves Haran, Ubeparshat Bo, right? Because it's only that's in chapter 15. We're up to chapter 12. Ubeparshat Bo Paro Karad Vayhimiket Shloshim Shana Ve'Arbamot Shana. At the end of 430 years, and there, right? And then 430 years, the Jews leave Egypt, and then the comment 430 years from when? From what? So it's 430 years. It's 400 years from the birth of Yitzchak. 430 years from the day that God spoke to Avraham and told him this message about the Brit Bein HaBetarim, that your descendants will be enslaved. Now, if you're not clear yet what he's trying to say, let's go back to source number 9, which is called the Seder Olam Rabbah, which is the source that deals with biblical chronology. Avram Avinu haya b'sha'a shenedaber imo bein HaBetarim ben 70 shana. During the Brit Bein HaBetarim, which for us was chapter 15, Avram was 70 years old. So those of you who've already lost track, because I'm talking about numbers, he's 75 years old when he leaves. And over here he just now said that by chapter 15, he's 70 years old. So you know how often Rashi would tell us, oh, ein mukdam u'muchar b'Torah? Well, welcome to Rashi's world. That the Torah does not follow any kind of biblical chronology, and it follows a thematic storyline rather than exactly the sequence things took place. And the Seder Olam, again, which is the authoritative source that deals with biblical chronology, says Avram was 70 years old, and it feels it has to be. Again, I just want you to understand the math. It says the Jews leave Egypt 430 years later. God said they'll be there for 400 years. The 400 years is counted from the day that Yitzchak is born. So it says we have another 30 years. So anybody living in Israel says, okay, it's fine, it's plus mom. Okay, so therefore we tacked on taxes and whatever, so we don't have a problem. But you can't just say that. Where are the 30 years from? So he says, no, it's 30 years from the time that God said it. The end of 430 years from the day that God spoke. Avram was 100 years old when Yitzchak was born. So therefore 100 minus 30, when God says it, Avram 70. And that's where they got to the 70. The problem is the 70 is 5 years prior to, and Avram leaves. So that's why there is here potential confusion. But let's continue. So it says as follows, La'achar shenidaber imo yorad l'charan, and after God spoke to him, he went to Haran, va'asa sham chamesh shanim, and he spent 5 years in Haran. So you remember we saw earlier, I think it was the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, no, he goes right away? Yeah, so things are not as simple. Although, let's be honest, there's more than, we don't know when he said lech lecha. We don't know how much time that it took, but he's claiming that the Brit Bein HaBetarim was 5 years before Avram actually left, and we have no idea when God spoke to Avram. So we have no idea when he told him to leave his land, because ostensibly he would have said that not in Haran, he would have said that in Ur HaKasdim. There is a long Ramban who will try to analyze every single point that I'm saying now and where he was actually born, where Avram was born, and I have this Ramban towards the end, but I'm staying away from the Ramban right now. And then he starts doing all kinds of math over here, and I just want to continue reading a little bit. Shenem av Avram ben chamesh shanim v'shivim shana v'teito mecharan. Nimtza min haflaga v'ad shiatz Avram avinu mecharan esrim v'sheva shanim heim. From the time of the dispersion until Avram leaves, his 27 years went by. Him shenem esrei shana avdu et kadri la'omu v'shlosh esrei shana mordu v'arba asar shana bakar la'omu. And what did you just now throw into this discussion? The war of the four kings and the five kings, and those 25 years, he's throwing it in earlier than we ever even imagined that it should be considered. So any of you wondering how long Avram was in Egypt during that time? So the Seder Olam claims he was there for 3 months. And that's the time that the kings captured and so on and so forth. And then the 10 years take place until he married Hagar. So part of all this just now touched the 10 years, because there is this idea in halacha, which is really where this is going to, that if a couple married for 10 years don't have children and the husband has an obligation of children, so perhaps that would be a reason for divorce. Now let's go back to source number 10. The Balei HaTosfot ask regarding this chronology, and it knows about the Seder Olam, but now look what it says in bold in the fourth line or so. V'tzarech lomar, what do we have to conclude? Sheshtei yitziot hayu, that Avram took two trips. For those of you who prefer to read it this way, there was a pilot trip that he came to check out the land, and then he actually moved. But that's, he's saying, there were two different trips. V'tzarech lomar sheshtei yitziot hayu. B'pam rishonah kishia ben shivim v'yalachi tolot. Uvoto sha'ah, he's claiming that Avram had gone early with what means Pasuk Dalet and Pasuk Hey, and Avram went and Lot went with him. And then afterwards says that Avram went and Sarah and Lot. He's claiming that Pasuk Dalet and Pasuk Hey are two different trips. It wasn't that it was repetitive and telling you the same thing again, that Avram went more than once, and that there are years between the two trips. One of them he went when he was 75 years old. He says the other one is before he's 70, because the Brit Bein HaTarim is only when he's 70, and that took place after Lot was captured and after Avram went and got involved in the war. Which means, remember I told you that we just keep moving the problems around and getting to different kinds of solutions, but that's remarkable what he says. The rush is in source number 11. The rush over here is in the Gemara of Yevamot. It's in the middle of a halakhic discussion about a couple being married for 10 years and not having children. It starts doing this whole analysis of where Avram lived and wants to count the 10 years all over again when he gets to the land of Israel. That before they got to the land of Israel, it didn't count. It's only the land of Israel that it counted. And you have the Rush and the Korban Netanel who responds to him. And then in source 13, you have the Netziv, the Emek Dover, who cannot possibly accept anything that I just now said. He believes that all of this is preposterous, and what do you mean he went twice? It was only once, and the Brit Bein HaTarim didn't happen when he was 70 years old. The 430 years means something else, and stop bothering me. And he'll go back to what was probably the conventional understanding that all of us had before we started. And he actually goes so far as to say in source 14, and here's where he stretches it. Look where it's bold there in the middle. V'nirish agam b'seder olam ena kavanashia hadibur la'avraham kishia ben shivim. It wasn't that God really spoke to him when he was 70. Ela shahoya az he'ara min hashamayim v'kol dodo yitbarach dofek al libo letzeit mi'ur kazdim l'charan u'misham l'eretz Yisrael. Rather, do you realize what I just now said? He said that God didn't speak to him. That's not when God spoke to him. Rather, Avram had a divine premonition in his heart telling him it's time to move and it's time to get out of here. And he just now turned the Brit Bein HaTarim into sort of a feeling that Avram had, which I think is really outrageous. I really do believe it's outrageous. But I want to bring something up, which is really the opposite, and then we're going to be able to put hopefully everything together. And the opposite is found in the Sfat Emet in source number 15. And there's half of a line here, and I hope I'm not exaggerating. I hope I'm not taking it out of context, and I hope I'm not putting words in his mouth. He starts with the Ramban, Hikshash, and Emar Lech Lecha, Belish, and Iskar, Mukdam Chibato, which is one of the things I mentioned earlier, I mean, Lech Lecha, without knowing anything about context, or who he was, or why he chooses him. Uvizor HaKadosh, Nira, Kizeh Atzmo HaShevach, Sheshamazeh, Mamar Lech Lecha, Shanem HaShem Dibarach, Likol HaAnashim Tamid. If I'm not mistaken, what he's saying is, I ask, you know, why did God choose Avram? And I gave the answer, because Avram's going to instruct his children. He just now said that God actually tells everybody Lech Lecha, that every single person in the world got the same message from God. And the vast majority of people woke up in the morning and said, wow, that was a groovy dream. What a nice trip that was. Or that was a psychotic episode. And nobody took it seriously. And there was only one person who took it seriously, and that's Avram Avinu, which means, why does God choose Avram? And you realize what this is analogous to? You know what this is analogous to? It's analogous to Matan Torah, where the Midrash says that God went to all the nations of the world and offers it, and everyone, okay, what does it say? What are the conditions? What's going on? It's saying the exact same thing over here, that God spoke to every single person, pick up and go, and only one guy, you know, took the gauntlet. Only one person said, yeah, okay, I'm going. Except, there may have been another one. Terach, which means we had a problem. What's our problem? Why in the world is Terach picking up and traveling from Or Kasdim to go to Canaan? And the answer could be this exact point, again, if we're doing the Sfat Emet properly, and he says it's the Zohar, if we're understanding it properly, Terach gets the same message, and therefore Terach picks up and starts to travel towards the land of Canaan. But what's the problem with Terach? Terach stops along the way. He can't go all the way to the end. See, I think with this, we can now begin to understand a whole bunch of things differently than perhaps we'd understood them previously. First of all, I want to go back to the very beginning. Remember I told you I have a very simple solution why the instructions that God gave to Avraham were, Lech lecha mi'artzecha miladetecha mi'beit avicha. Leave your land, leave your birthplace, and leave your father's home. It should have been the other way around. But now you realize that his father's home moved. His father's home moved his birthplace and moved his land, so therefore he is still in his father's home, but he's already left the other places, so the sequence is correct. Because his father went with him. His father was along the way as well, traveling to the land of Israel. But, and I have to say that again, it's not just that geographically, leave where you're born and also leave the place that your father moved to, but his father moved to this place temporarily because he's on his way to the land of Israel. So once you realize that Terach, or Eretz Canaan, if you want to correct me, once you realize that Terach is on his way to Canaan, and I go back and I ask the question I asked before, why? Is he on his way there because he wants to open up an idol store? I really hope that none of you think that that's correct. Apparently, Terach was somebody who was a truth seeker as well. Somebody who's looking for spirituality. Somebody who feels the spiritual pull of the land of Israel, and he knows that this is the place that he has to go to. Terach is being pulled here like a magnet, but even though he's being pulled, he doesn't make it all the way. He knows his plan is, he has his aliyah plan. Terach is the first one who has an aliyah plan and isn't able to actually bring it to fruition and actually make it all the way there. But that's where he's going to. And again, you can't ignore that verse. All that I've said, in the first time I said it, why is he going? And now the answer is, wow, what if he's going? Again, I can read this two different ways, three different ways, but I'll just say two now. One is that he knows that that's Avraham's mission, so he wants to help Avraham. He also witnessed this miraculous thing. So it's interesting. Haran jumps inside the furnace, but Terach says, you know what, let me be a driver. Let me take you. You're obviously, he knows, it's Avram. And therefore, let me help you. But he just can't go all the way. The other possibility that he himself wants to take the same trip. And he himself wants to go to the land of Israel. Not because of Avram per se, because he knows that this is something that he needs to do, but he actually doesn't make it there. So now you realize that when God says to Avram, leave your father's home, it's so much more difficult than we ever imagined. Because Avram's a person, just think about the contrast. Leave your father's home, and nefesh ashasav haran. And if we understand that the way that the Targum understands it, Rashi understands it, that he reached out and he taught people, he inspired people, and Avram continues calling out of the name of God all over, wherever he goes, he's inspiring people. And what about his father? Which means he would like to believe that his father's going to come on this journey with him. He would like to believe, not just journey in terms of geography, that his, right, this is not just a geographical issue. He would love to believe that his father's going to come with him. And you can imagine that day when God actually says to him, no, your father's gone as far as he's going to go, and here are the choices. You stay halfway with him, or you go all the way, and you have to take this mission by yourself. That's not a simple issue anymore. I'm not just saying on a personal level, your father. I'm saying on a spiritual level. Because Avram, who inspires so many people, would love to believe that his father's taking that next step with him. But God says, no, that's it. You need to go. So turning around and leaving Terach, you think, we always think about the Akedah as being like this impossible test. This is also one of the tests. One of the tests to be able to say, your father's gone as far as you can go, now you have to keep on going. That's not a simple point. See, I also think that what happens over here in Pshat, geographically, in terms of Terach, is the source for what we read in the Midrash regarding his son Haran. He's on the fence. Am I with Nimrod? Am I with Avraham? Let's see how this works out. Where am I going to go? Where am I going to be? He's sitting on the fence. Where does he get this fence sitting from? So geographically, that's exactly what happens with his father's Terach. Terach geographically is stuck right there in between Nimrod and Avraham. He leaves Nimrod, but he can't go to Avraham. He's stuck in the middle. So I'm saying when you realize that again, pshat in the Torah is geographically, terach is stuck in the middle. That's what this midrash did when it spoke to us about his son, who's there someplace in the middle, and now we go one step further, and maybe that tells us a lot about Lot as well. Lot goes with Avraham, but he's never really with Avraham, which means there is this, you know, I don't know exactly how to call it, this trait where they don't follow the consensus, right? Avram doesn't follow the consensus. Terach doesn't follow the consensus. But just because you don't follow the consensus doesn't mean that you can then take the argument all the way to its logical conclusion. It means you know what they're doing is wrong and you know what's right. But, you know, what does it take for us really to follow through and to do what's right? Which is, that's a whole nother strength inside that Avram is able to do. Avram is able consistently to take the instructions that God gives him, to take the logic that he understands, and go all the way to its logical conclusion. And that's really where the greatness of Avram comes from. And maybe, we need to give more credit to Terach. Maybe if he didn't have a father who was at least willing to go halfway, Avram never would have been able to go all the way. Maybe without that kind of, again, his father must have been also somebody who, despite the fact that he was a man who was involved in the idol industry, is able to turn around and walk away. And yes, I understand, he saw miracles and he had a son like Avram, so on and so forth. But maybe there is a lot more to Terach than we normally have credit for. But Terach is somebody who ends up halfway. He does not go all the way. And that may have been one of the first really painful decisions that Avram had to make. My God, my father. My God or my father. That's not an easy choice. And Avram, Vayelecha, and now you read the words again, and you realize, Vayelech Avram kasher diber elav Hashem. He goes as God had told him to go. Which means, where did we get far more complicated in this whole story? When did God speak to him the first time? We don't know. Did God already tell Avram back by Ur Kasdim, make your way to the land of Israel? Does he leave once? Does he leave twice? That's a huge question over here. But this journey of Avraham may have taken a lot longer. And I think that's very valuable. You know, on the one hand, we love to look at our spiritual giants and say, wow, Avraham got the instruction, goes the next day. There's something very powerful about that. But there's also something very powerful about this human side of Avraham, that God gave him an instruction, and it was complicated. It really was complicated. It's not simple. There's human relationships over here. There's people. There's geography. And Avraham slowly but surely goes and he gets there. Which means ultimately the success of Avraham is that he does walk away and he gets there. And God tells him that's what he needs to do. And he succeeds. But there may have been a much longer journey here than we imagine. And especially if God said Lech Lecha when he was still in Ur Kasdim. Now we have this big question about his father Terach. Did he also hear it? Is he following Avram's vision? If he's following Avram's vision, then it's even more impressive, which means he's willing to put his whole life aside. My son has a vision. Let me take him to the land of Canaan. Let me go with him to the land of Canaan. But again, he just can't go all the way. And Avram had so much hope. We're going. We're all going together. We're all following this mission together. We're all, quote unquote, going to become religious together. We're all going to become Bali Tshuva together. We're all going to have a new life together. And then God at some point says to Avram, okay, your father has gone as far as he can go. Now leave his house as well. So the sequence of the verses is right. But once you realize the sequence is right, you also understand it's much more painful than we ever imagined. It wasn't one day he picked up, okay, let me leave all those things. No. There was various stages over here, but not just stages. There was hope in Avram's heart that Terach is going with them all the way. And at some point that didn't happen. At some point Avram is told, you have to take the journey by yourself. Turn around, say goodbye, give him a kiss, and walk onwards. That's not easy. And now, when I asked in the very beginning, what God says, Lech Lecha, right, leave all of these things, I'm going to make you great. You realize that that itself is right there, that's it. Do you choose your mission, or are you going to stay over here halfway? Are you able to go all the way, or are you going to stay with Terach the rest of your life? Avram, as we know, picks up and goes, and that's why he becomes Avram Avinu.